thank you for being here tonight. And just by way of introduction, I was reading this afternoon that an Ohio school district has agreed to keep a portrait of Jesus Christ off school property and pay a $95,000 fine in the face of legal pressure from the ACLU. The Jackson City School District, located in Jackson, reached a deal on Friday after the ACLU, along with the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation, sued the district in February, citing unconstitutional actions and charging that students and visitors to the school will continue to suffer permanent, severe, and irreparable harm and injury, according to the lawsuit, because there's a picture of Jesus that has been there since 1947 as part of a Hall of Fame display meant to highlight famous historical figures. Here in this country, the country that every day handles coins and money that has on it, what? In God we trust. And so tonight, you know, as we think about these psalms, these passages that God has given us, and it's not so much a message on how to trust him, but not a how-to message tonight, but a why we can trust him, why we can have victory over our fears. Because when we look at this, and if we look out into the world today, and we look at our lives, there's much to be afraid of. And it doesn't seem like, does it, that God is in control? It doesn't seem like that victory is ours until we look into God's word. And we see that God absolutely is in control of this world. He knows exactly what he's doing. The Lord, Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Psalm 115:3, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. And Isaiah 45:7, I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and I create disaster. Hebrews 2, chapter 8 says, in putting everything under his feet, God left nothing that is not subject to him. And Revelation 4, chapter 11 says, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy glory they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. And I wonder tonight, what is it that has you fearful tonight? What is it that has you anxious and worried? Fear of failure and criticism can paralyze us, can it? Fear of rejection, fear that our weaknesses and our insecurities are going to be exposed, fear of others punishing us, withdrawing from us, fear that our inadequacies will be exposed, fear that something's going to happen to my children, something that's going to happen to my spouse, now my grandchildren, fear of losing our homes, losing our business, fear of sickness, fear of death, fear of rebellious children. We could just go on and on and on, can't we? But tonight, God has declared, you see, we can trust in him that he is a God who is still on the throne, knows exactly what he's doing in this world, what he's doing in our lives. He has us in the palm of his hands. Victory is ours. Victory over fear is ours. So will you bow with me now as we go to him and ask us to help us that this will become real in our lives. And Father, we just come before you tonight. And God, we ask you to come down into this place. Lord, not that we might bring you down into the smallness of our circumstances, God, but that you would lift us up and help us see the glories of your kingdom, Lord, and the life that you have called us to now and the life that you have called us to for eternity. And God, I'm just asking now that you would speak to us, that you would take the words of these psalms, Lord, and you would quicken the Holy Spirit within us and encourage our hearts tonight, Lord. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Lord, speak to us. We need a word from you, Lord Jesus. And we are here tonight, Lord, to declare together that you still rule and reign. And Lord, our hearts desire that you would rule and reign in our lives. So God, help us. as we open up these passages together, Lord, would you help us understand? And Lord, we need a word from you. And so, God, I'm asking now that you would speak to the deepest recesses of our heart, Lord. We want to hear your still, small voice speaking to each one of us. So, God, I'm asking now that you would do that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In God we trust. You and I can have victory over our fears. And this is a command for us. We're told to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And we're told that we can be secure in him. And we can face the days to come. We can face them with confidence. But we can't do that unless we're willing to be still and know that he is God. And none of those things mean anything to us unless we have become born again, unless we have been saved. We cannot claim any of the promises in this Bible except the promise of being eternally separated from God unless we are in Christ Jesus. All of God's promises are yes and amen to us in Christ Jesus. And so that's how we're going to go tonight. Number one, we're in Psalm chapter 11. We are the message for us is that we would be strong because he is our refuge. In the Lord, I take refuge. How can you say then to me, when I look at all of this world and everything that's going on and I look at the circumstances of my life and in my church and in my country and in this world, how can you say to me, flee like a bird to the mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations of the world are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the foundations of my life are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? We can look to him because the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. That's what we can do. We can look to him for our refuge. You know, we live in uncertain days, don't we? And any day can bring a disaster. And it's those unknown things that can just sort of blindside us and come out of nowhere. A phone call, a diagnosis, a national crisis, a family crisis. And we're just riding along thinking everything is okay, and then something can happen. And we can panic, unable to cope with hard, perplexing circumstances. And our first impulse oftentimes is to run, isn't it? And flee to the mountains. When things get tough. When things get tough in a marriage, when things get tough in a family, when they get tough in a church, and we have all kinds of ways of fleeing and running away, don't we? I think technology is one of them. We can just spend all of our time in our homes. They're nothing more than entertainment centers, and just sit down and just look at those screens all day and all night. We never have to talk to each other, never have to talk to the Lord, never have to think about anything. We have all kinds of escape mechanisms. We can change jobs to run from something. We can change churches to run from something. We can change locations. We can change spouses. We have our ways. We can escape through drugs and alcohol. That can be an escape in many of our lives. But we have a refuge. We have an anchor for the soul. The righteous, you see, have an anchor. We have a friend. We have an advocate where there's true peace, where there's true help. And it's something that God does inward that has nothing to do. Listen to me. Here is the thing. Here is the disconnect. You see, we think, don't we, even as Christians, even though we have head knowledge of this, that if I can just get all of these things straightened out around me, then I'll have peace. Then I'll have security. That is not the God of the Scripture. That is not the Christ of the cross. Jesus said, peace I give to you. And my peace is not of the world as the world gives. Jesus said, I give you joy that has nothing to do with circumstances. It's something that God does from the inside out. From the soul, he gives soul rest, living water, manna, bread from heaven. He's my refuge. He's my rocks. When the foundation is being destroyed. And listen, the scripture says that God is going to shake. There's going to be a final shaking of the earth one day. and all of the created things, everything that is not under the authority of God's throne is going to be destroyed. But until that time, there's going to be all kinds of shakings in the world. When our foundations, you see, are going to be shaken. Foundations in our lives. And that's when you and I find out who we really are. When disasters come into our life, when the very foundations of our life become shaken, that's when we find out what our personality is like, who we're really trusting in, what we're really trusting in. When you look at the bank account and there's nobody there, when there's nothing there, when you get that diagnosis from the doctor, when the marriage you thought you had was nothing like you thought it was, when the children rebel, then, you see, we find out what it is or who it is that we are really trusting in. And if we panic, when we worry, and listen to me, I'm preaching to myself on this one. When we worry and when we get anxious, what are we saying? If I'm drawing the conclusion things are out of control and I've got to fix them, then my premise is that I must be in control of my life. And I must be in control of the world. Those are the things that cause panic in my life. Because either one of two things has to be my premise. One of two things, either God is not under control, God doesn't have my life under control, or either he doesn't care. And is that what the scripture tells us? No, the scripture tells me God is in control and he cares very much about my life. So I have to go back to believing my beliefs. To believing what the Bible says about God and what God has said about me and my life and his love and concern for me. Victory over fear comes when I can say God is on the throne. He knows more than I do about this situation. He rules and reigns the universe. He absolutely has the power to rule and reign in my life. And he loves me deeply. How do I know that? Because he went to the cross and he shed his blood for my life. And even though I can look around and I see circumstances out of control and nothing seems to be going the way I thought it would, and his promises to me do not seem to be unfolding the way I think they should be, God is still on the throne. And panic, you see, every conclusion, right? Every assumption has a premise. And if I'm panicking, then there's something wrong back there in my premise. And for some reason, you know, there's a disconnect because I can have had knowledge of it, but I'm not appropriating it into my life. Listen, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. At that time, the voice shook the earth. And as he has promised, once more he said, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens. And the word once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken shall remain. And I wonder how many of you tonight, God is shaking the foundations of your life. And you feel like the bottom has just fallen out of your life. May I submit to you that God is just shaking off the dross, that the things that are eternal, that the things that are of true value, the things that you and I really need to satisfy our lives and give us peace and give us joy and give us happiness, those things are as secure as the very throne room in heaven. And because he is the anchor of my soul, then I do not have to panic. I do not have to fear. I do not have to be anxious. I do not have to worry. That's the reason for my strength. What is the result of my strength going to be? He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. Verse number 7, for the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. He is present in my life. Upright men will see his face. He will reveal himself to me. That's going to be the result. He's going to perfect me. He tests the righteous. Did you know every single day when things are going good, when things are not going so hot. You and I as Christians are being tested. And there's testing for perfection. God is perfecting me. That's sanctifying me. And there's testing for correction. God is correcting me. I'm off base. I'm off the path to get me back on the straight path. Every single day, every circumstance you and I are in, God is testing us. He is proving us, James says. So you and I can consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. You know what that means, mature and complete, lacking nothing? It means I am satisfied in God and God alone. And if I don't have it, it's because He said I don't need it to satisfy my life, to bring my life joy, to give my life purpose and significance. He perfects us. Not only is He going to perfect me, but I have His presence in my life. The righteous will see His face. You know how to know God? Listen, here's the thing. One step of obedience. We will learn more about God than 25 years of Bible study that we sit in just for knowledge, just for more information. One step of obedience, God says. That's how we know God. Because we step out in faith. We take up our cross. We follow Him. We begin to consider others better than ourselves. We begin to be grateful in our lives. We begin to make conscious efforts to appropriate the promises of God in my life and act on them and stand on them and eat them and breathe them. And God reveals Himself to me. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, because He's our refuge. He's our strength. Psalm 23, we can be secure. If you'll turn over there with me, David wrote, the shepherd king said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Many of us can probably say it by rote. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. What did David know? He said, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. You and I can be secure in trusting God. Why? Because He gave us the best that He had. He gave us His Son. He gave us Jesus. Jesus confirmed that in John. He said, I am that good shepherd. And this shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. That's the God that you and I are trusting in. That's the God that's called us into His flock. And we can be secure because God gave us the very best He had. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He's the creator of the universe. Walk outside, if you can, if you can see it, and look up at the billions and billions of stars in the universe. Do you know why the Bible tells us those stars are there? Number one, they glorify God. Number two, they are just for our enjoyment. Put there just for you and me, His people, the pinnacle of His creation. He gave His best for us. And He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He also, not along with Him, graciously give us all things? Is there anything that He would withhold for us? And how did David learn this? How did he learn to trust the shepherd? How did he know all this? David, the shepherd king, how did he learn to be a sheep to follow the shepherd? He learned it, remember, out in the fields with the lion and the bear, in that obscure, insignificant, no man's land where nobody saw and nobody knew. There he learned to trust God. There he learned amazing things about the Lord as his shepherd, so that when God called him out to take on Goliath and save his people, what did he say? Who is this that defies the armies of the living God? Listen, I saw what God did when he saved me from the paw of the lion and the bear. That same God will help me take on this uncircumcised Philistine. Let me tell you something. I don't know what insignificant, obscure place God has you in right now, but may I submit to you that that is where the greatest lessons to me are learned about God. For me, it was a mom with four babies all at one time. I never thought I would see the light of day again. And my life, you see, revolved around two little rooms, a pink one and a yellow one. And I honestly, I had to ask the Lord, is it okay to walk out to the mailbox right now? And there were days when they had, all four had 15 months old, they all had an intestinal flu, and Johnny had the intestinal flu, and I had the intestinal flu, and all I could do was lay on my back and say, Lord Jesus, will you help me? But the lessons I learned about the faithfulness of God and the deliverance of God and the day in, day out, nitty gritty routine of life, listen, I wouldn't take anything for it. And I cannot tell you, I honestly cannot tell you how to raise children. I cannot tell you how to potty train anybody or how you discipline. I was a terrible disciplinarian, but I can tell you about the faithfulness of God. I can tell you about a God who will come down and help us, who cry out to him, and who will lead us, and who will be our shepherd, and who will show up time after time after time again, because he's given us his best. And we can be secure in that. We can be secure in his best. We can be secure in his blessing. And his blessing on our life, listen, is extravagant. David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And you don't have to be in ministry to know that the devil is going to come after you every day. Accusation, accusation, accusation. What's always sort of takes me back is the places where it comes from. That's always a surprise to me. Is the people that you would think would be supporting you are the very ones that are coming at you, accusing you, judging you. And he said, you prepare a table in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What is that? That's our vindication. That's my vindication. God's love for me is extravagant. We tend to focus on the things that we have to give up. But he says, my cup is going to overflow with his blessing in my life. He's not stingy with it. He doesn't dole things out. You look from Genesis to Revelation, God is a God who wants to pour out his blessing on his people. And he's just waiting for us to come and receive. We don't have to take vengeance. We don't have to worry ourselves with our enemies. God's going to do that. I don't have to take revenge on anybody. You know what revenge does? It robs us, the Bible says. Do you remember when John the Baptist told Herod that he shouldn't be living with Herodias because that was his brother's wife? And Herodias didn't like that at all, and she harbored a grudge against him. And so when her daughter danced before Herod, and he said, I'll give you up to half my kingdom, he was so pleased with her. And what did her mother say to ask for? The head of John the Baptist. And she was given that. Isn't it interesting that that's what revenge does? He was going to give her up to half his kingdom, and she settled for the head of John the Baptist. And that's what revenge does. You see, I can just rest. And I can just be secure when the accusations come and the persecutions come. And I can just trust God. That before my enemies, he has prepared a table before me. And he anoints my head with oil. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, even in disasters. The foundation of my life is that God will bring ultimate good out of it. And Jesus said, you know, don't fear the ones that can harm the body. Don't fear them. Fear the one who can destroy the soul and take you straight to hell. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not death, not life, not things up above, not things down below. Nothing will separate me from God. In fact, death will only unite me with Him. And because of God's sacrificial and unconditional love poured out on me, you see, you know what? It enables me to turn around and offer that to the people around me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I can be that to a lost and dying world around me. I can extend goodness and mercy. I can forgive because I've been forgiven. I can love unconditionally because God in Christ Jesus has unconditionally forgiven me. And how is this lived out in real life? It's lived out through obedience, putting Christ first, taking up the cross, not my will, but His will done. It means putting other people first, going to the back of the line, giving up the best seat, not having to have the last word, being willing to take the low place, as someone has said, descending into greatness, and being grateful to God. And we can't be strong and we can't be secure in Him unless we're willing to be still and know that He is God. From Psalm 46, you and I have to give God time to know Him in the midst of this turbulent, troubled world. He's my confidence. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. What is He telling us? He's telling us, and all of Scripture tells us, that living for Christ, being a disciple of Christ, is risky. Now listen, coming to Christ costs me nothing. I don't give up anything. I don't bring anything. I just simply come for salvation, repenting of my sin, acknowledging that when Jesus went to the cross, that He went for me. But a life of discipleship costs me everything. It's risky. It's hazardous. Every day of my life, I put faith on the line. In this world where everything is measurable and weighable and quantitative and every scientific, I've chosen to put God, a God who I have never seen, a God who I have never heard with my audible ears, I've chosen to put that God at the center of my life. That's costly. Every day as a Christian, I put hope on the line. I don't know the future. I can't tell anybody the future. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I don't know what's going to happen in this world from day to day, from minute to minute. But yet I've chosen to give all of my life to serving Him and loving Him. And listen, not only that, to pass that on to my children. This is a God you can trust in. Praying all the while that God is going to show up in their lives and prove Himself faithful to them, and He has time and time again. That's risky. And every day I put love on the line. This is challenging. Preparing a message, outlining a passage, coming in, speaking to you is challenging. There's nothing easy about it. But listen to me. For me personally, the hardest thing for me to do is to love people. The thing that I am less good at doing is loving people. Loving people in the church who are jealous and hypocritical and who are whiny and complaining. Loving people in my family. Loving people outside the church. The hardest thing for me to do is the thing God has asked me to do. Easy thing, you see, to speak truth for me. But His Word says, if you don't love, Beth, you are a clanging cymbal. A clanging cymbal. Every day I put love on the line. And let me tell you something I have found. I would rather fail in trying to love than succeed in pride. In 2 weeks, my daughter Quinn, 2 weeks from tomorrow, has talked me into going on a trip to India with her. And there's 15 ladies going with us. I think two of them are also in this study, Amy Bailey and Ruthie Holding. And I would have never done it except Quinn basically coerced me into it. And then another friend of mine played for my flight. And I had a laundry list of fears of why I wouldn't want to go. And we're going to a place where there's never been anything for women before. They've never had anything in that area for women before. And we're going to go, and we're going to do a women's conference. And we got a picture of one of the women recently from one of the pastors over there. And she was just, because he has gone out into the forest, they're tribal women, and has invited them into the conference. And he invited one of these women. And he sent us a picture of her, not in a good condition. I'm not going to describe it to you. You know what he said to me? He said, you know, Beth, easy thing, isn't it, to go over there and pick out one of these messages and dust it off and just sort of give it out to them and hope that the translator gets it right. Easy thing. But I want you, Beth, I want you to go. And this is what he said to me. I want you to put your hands on them. I want you to go and love them for me. I want you to go and have a relationship and wash their feet and watch me bring down the cultural barriers and the language barriers. Because if you don't have love, you are a clanging cymbal. And every day, you see, I put faith, hope, and love on the line for him. And he is so worth it to me. Because he's my refuge, and he's my strength, and he's an ever-present help in times of trouble. And it's interesting, you see, in this whole process, all of the things that I feared, the fear of flying, the fear of, you know, all of this news that comes out about violence against women in India, and all of that has just sort of dissipated. And what I fear most is that I'm not going to love well those women. And my confidence has to be in him. My comfort has to be in him. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. God is within her. That's where our comfort comes from. That's where our peace comes from. It comes from a relationship, from knowing him. The earth can give way. The waters roar. The mountains fall into the sea. The nations are in uproar. But God Almighty is our stronghold. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And he's our conqueror. Who's worthy? Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's the only one worthy. He's the only one worthy. He's the only one who is capable. He's the only one who has the credentials to rule the world. And maybe that's one of the reasons we're seeing the desolations. Maybe that's one of the reasons we see the unrest and the wars, because he's the only one that has the answer for peace. And peace will not come until he returns and sets up his throne and his kingdom here on earth. And he says, be still and know that I am God. So I want to ask you tonight with me, is God who he says he is? Is he? Is God faithful to his promises? And when he says, I'll be a refuge for you, I'll be a mighty fortress for you, does God mean it when he says that? Yes or no? Yes, he means that. Then let me ask you something. Then why is it tonight then fear is controlling our lives? Why is it anxiety is controlling our lives? And could it be because we haven't taken the time to just be still and know that he is God? Because if he is who he says he is, and if he does what he says he's going to do, do you and I have any reason to be fearful, to be anxious, to be worried, to stay up at night? No. Do we? Here's the thing. Are you willing to trust him with whatever it is, whatever circumstances it is that's causing you to be fearful and anxious? Are you willing to trust him? And here's the real issue with all of us. And let him choose the outcome. Because here's what happens to me. I can trust you, Lord, but what if you let the worst happen? Because you see, that happened to me as a six-year-old. My father walked out the door one day, went into the hospital, and never came back. And for 2 months, I prayed, Lord, help him get well, and God did not. So if our faith is in an outcome, what happens to our faith? It's totally shipwrecked, isn't it? I would submit to you that is no faith at all. That faith in an almighty God who is our fortress says, I will trust you, and my trust in you has nothing to do with an outcome. And it has everything to do that you are a good God. You are a loving God. You are my shepherd, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort me. Just your presence. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, writing from a Siberian labor camp, said just the very thought of him, help me keep my sanity. That's the reality of God in our lives. Can you say that? I will trust him. I believe he is who he says he is. He does what he says he's going to do, no matter what the outcome. Can you say that? I will trust you. And I will trust you that you rule. You know more about this situation than I do. And that whatever comes my way, you will be with me in it. You'll be there with me, and you know what you're doing in my life, and somehow, someday, you see, I'll be able to see how this all came together for your glory and for my good. That's the kind of trust that God's asking of us, to let him work it out. And would you agree with me? May I submit to you, he knows far more than you and I do about the situation. And may I submit to you that the God who made us, the God who created us, knows what he's doing with our lives and knows what's best for us and has proven it, that he has our best interest at heart all the time because he gave us his best at the cross. But listen to me, if you're sitting here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you've never committed your life to him, you never have by faith accepted the fact and believed that when Jesus went to the cross, he went for you. Not his cross, he carried yours. Not his sin, he bore in his body on the tree, your sin. Not his death, he died, your death. And he rose again from the dead, and then he offers you and me new life in him. If you're sitting here today and you've never committed your life to him, you've never become born again, then you can't claim any of that. It's not for you. All of these promises are for us who know him. But tonight, you can trust him for your salvation. Psalm 62, the psalmist writes, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. And verse number 6, he alone is my rock and my salvation. Verse number 7, my salvation and my honor depend upon God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Only in him is there salvation. It's an invitation. It's an invitation for anybody in this room that doesn't know him. It's an invitation for anybody in the world to come. Listen to what he says. And verse number 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour your hearts out to him, for God is our refuge. Come to him. Trust him to save you. Listen, everybody on earth today who's taking a breath, it's because God has allowed it. Everybody on earth today who is enjoying a benefit of the sunshine or the rain or sleep or anything, it's because God has given it. His grace is still being poured out on the world today. And in coming to Christ, you see, you and I still walk the same roads as everybody else. We still go to the same grocery stores as everybody else. We still work at the same places, live in the same houses, go to the same churches, the same schools. One day we'll probably even be buried in the same graveyard. But here's the difference. We have his presence with us. We have his help. We have his nearness. We have his companionship. I have his working in my life every day that I get up. Little old me, little old you. The creator of the universe. We have to come to him, though, and choose to be part of his flock. By faith, we have to look and commit to him in such a way that your life has changed. What has changed in your life since coming to Christ? It's an invitation to come. And Psalm chapter 121, lastly, it's also a declaration. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will watch over your life. The God who is the maker of heaven and earth is the God who helps me personally. He's bigger than the sun, he's bigger than the moon, but he's also my shade at my right hand. He's the unsearchable, the incomprehensible, the unfathomable, the unexplainable. That God reaches down, takes hold of my hand, and says, do not be afraid. I will not let your foot slip. I'm the one who keeps you. I neither slumber nor sleep. I am your shade at your right hand. He's intimately involved in the troubles and the circumstances of this ordinary life. Is that yours tonight? Have you chosen him? He's chosen you, but you have to choose him. You have to come to him for salvation, not to religion, not to a Bible study, not to just mere head knowledge. We come to a person that we can know personally and intimately, a God we can trust in. So tonight, will you be strong? Be strong in the Lord. Even when the foundation of my life is being shaken, God is still on the throne of my life. And be secure. He's given me the best that he had. He gave me his son, my faithful Savior. He gave me Jesus. He's my shepherd. And he allows me to be part of his flock, and he allows me to come under his care, and I can give him management over my life, and I can trust him with it. And I can be secure in his blessing in my life. And that's only going to happen if I'm willing to be still and let him be my confidence and let him be my comfort and let him be my the conqueror in my life. And none of that, you see, can be mine unless I've come to him and admitted that an unholy person cannot stand in the presence of a holy God, and that God has made a way through Jesus. He came down so that I could go up
He's the bridge between heaven and me. He makes it possible for me to come into the very presence of God and have my sins forgiven and be called a child of God. And then He sends His Holy Spirit into my life, and He gives me His peace and His comfort in my life, and He gifts me and enables me to be used by Him. And who would refuse such an invitation tonight? So will you trust God? Those of us that know Him, be still and know that He is God. Let Him reveal Himself to you. Give Him your fears. Be honest with Him about them. Be honest about your fears. Be honest about your anxieties, and ask Him to help you. And those of you that don't know Him, tonight you can make that right and trust Him as your Savior. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank You so much for being in this place. We thank You for the way that You have spoken to us through Your Word. And now, God, I'm just asking for those of us in here who can sometimes be paralyzed by fear and worry and anxiety. Lord, overwhelmed, Lord, almost immobile with fear and dread. Lord, would You help us trust You and believe Your Word? And Lord, for the ones in here tonight who have never for the first time put their trust in You as their Savior, Lord, I want to pray for them that they would not leave, that they would not lay their head on their pillow tonight without making that right with You, Lord, confessing their sin, claiming You as their Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for being here. Thank You for speaking. And we pray this in Your name. Amen.